There is no other name. Hallelujah. Can you hear me all right out there? Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. The atmosphere is rich with the blessing of God. As we lift our hands and worship the Lord, there's no other name under heaven in which men must be saved but the name of Jesus. There's a body of believers here in our midst, to your right and to your left, in front of you and behind you, that are here worshiping and praising the name that delivered them from sin and death, the name that healed their body, the name that delivered them from sickness and disease, the name that poured out His love on Calvary, the name that rose from the grave, that there's an empty tomb, the resurrected Lord, the name of Jesus, the name above every name, is in our midst here this morning and in our hearts here today. So Father, I thank You for Your name that's above every name. And as we worship and as we sing, as we glory in Your presence, Lord, I thank You that the atmosphere is rich with Your blessing. Your blessings and Your provision surround us. They surround us. They're here right now. Your miracle is in this house already today. Your ever-present help of need is right beside you right now. Hallelujah. That's the God that you serve. That's the living and true God that you serve. The miracle working God is right beside you right here, right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everyone just lift your hands right where you are. Father, I thank You that every hand that is raised is a lightning rod for Your glory to come. Let each and every person receive right now all they have need of, Father God. Father, I thank You for open hearts to receive Your glory and Your presence here today. Every question answered in Jesus' name. Every fear removed in Jesus' name. Every anxious thought cast out right now in Jesus' name. Flood each and every person under the sound of My voice. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And we all said amen. 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 Hallelujah. You may be seated. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, how wonderful the Lord is. How glorious He is. Hallelujah. Are you awake today? Yes. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome to New Freedom. Welcome online. We love you. Thanks for joining us. The little ones, they can go ahead back. They're going to worship God in the back there. And watch out, church. Those little ones in the back there, they're going to be on fire for God. You're not going to be able to hold them back. Amen. Amen. And it goes for you as well. There's the young ones, the 18 to, I say young, 18 to 30. Watch out. They're on fire for God. All around this country, colleges are coming alive to the power and the presence of God. University of Tennessee, thousands coming out. Hundreds of young people getting baptized every night around this nation. I'm telling you, revival is here. If you can see it, you're in it. If you can't see it, you're not in it yet. But when you see it by faith, you are the revived of the Lord. You literally live in revival. Amen. And there's times where it manifests greater than other times. But I'm not searching for revival. The one that produces revival lives in me. I'm not running after a move of God. I'm moving in God. Come on. Amen. Receive that in your spirit. You're not chasing after a blessing. You are the blessed of the Lord. You're not looking for healing. You are the healed of the Lord. You're not looking to get saved. You are the saved of the Lord. Amen. You are the redeemed. And the redeemed do what? Say so. Amen. She got it. Amen. The redeemed of the Lord say, I am redeemed. I am bought by the blood of Jesus. I am saved. I am delivered. I am healed. And I am set free. Amen. That's the church. That's why we're here. Amen. We're here to celebrate the risen Lord. You say, well, that's Resurrection Sunday. No, that's the life of the believer. Every day you wake up, thank you, Jesus, for paying the price for me. Thank you, Jesus, for going on the cross for me. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. And most of all, thank you, Lord, for being resurrected. Amen. Because that's where the power takes place. That's where the literal freedom came when the resurrection happened. That's when everything was settled. Amen. That's when sin was settled. That's when sickness was settled. It was settled at the resurrection. Amen. See, he could have died and been in the grave and stayed in the grave like every other god that people worship. But our Jesus is the only God that was resurrected. And that's what makes him awesome. Amen. And that's what makes you awesome. Amen. You're awesome, whether you know it or not. You may not feel awesome, but don't be moved by your feelings. You're awesome. Yeah, amen. I know I'm awesome. Thank you. Thank you for agreeing with me. Amen. But why? It's not because of us. It's because of him. It's because of him. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. I've said it already, but I'll say it again. I'm excited about what the Lord's doing. I'm excited about what happened last Sunday at church. You say, well, it's not happening this Sunday. The Spirit blows differently. The wind doesn't always blow from the north every day of the week, does it? Every day of the year. It doesn't blow from the north. Sometimes it'll blow from the south. Sometimes it'll blow from the southeast. Amen. You just got to be open to whatever the wind's blowing. Amen. Wherever he blows, wherever he desires to blow, you just got to just put yourself in that place of the wind of heaven. Just put yourself in that place and allow his wind to blow on you. Because he's going to blow on you differently today than he did last week. He'll blow on you differently tomorrow. He'll blow on you differently tonight than he did this morning. Wind changes and shifts direction based off of what God wants to be doing. And if we, the church, can say, we're just going to yield to the wind of heaven. We're going to yield to the river of God and allow it to just flow, and we're going to get in. We're not going to go against it. See, that's when it turns into a struggle, when you work against what the Spirit of God is doing. When you work with the Spirit of God, it's light and it's easy. Amen. Amen. And your life can be light and easy. Amen. Every day can be light and easy. Why? Because you cast your cares on the Lord. I'm not saying you don't have cares. I'm not saying you don't have struggles. But you give them to the Lord. You give them to God. And that allows your day to be easy. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Amen. Why can we say that? Because he's paid the price. He's delivered us. Sin has no power anymore. Satan has no power anymore. And, you know, when I was coming to church this morning, I was just meditating that everything has a place. Amen. Every believer has a place in the body. Jesus has his place seated at the right hand of the Father. Amen. We're seated in heavenly places. That's a place. Guess what? Satan himself has a place under your feet. Amen. Don't give him another place. Keep him where he is designed to be. Under your feet. Amen. If you get up in the morning, I encourage you, do a little jig next to your bed. Let him know where he's at. Amen. And smile when you do it. Why? Because he has a place and you have a place. Don't switch the place. Amen. Don't let the enemy think he's above you and you think you're battling with the enemy all day long. You're fighting a battle you don't need to fight. He's already defeated. Amen. That's why we celebrate church. That's why we praise and worship God. We don't come to church and sing an anti-praise song. No, you praise him because the victory is won. He's been defeated. This has nothing to do with my sermon. I am just encouraging you. Amen. It's what the church is all about. You should be encouraged every time you come to church. Every time you come together, everyone has a psalm, has a song, has a witness on the inside of the presence of God. Every one of you has something to give to the body of Christ. Amen. You have something to give. I have a sermon. I have a word from the Lord. I have something God gave me, but God has given you something. You may have came in and God has given you something for someone else in the church to encourage them. Praise God. Something is happening in the house of the Lord today. Amen. From this day forward, there's no more ordinary. It's going to be extraordinary. Amen. Extraordinary. What do I mean by extra? It's not just natural. It's supernatural. God's hand is upon what we're doing. God's hand is upon you. Amen. Don't look at another day as being an ordinary day. We're not just... No. No more ordinary days in Jesus' name. Amen. No more ordinary days in Jesus' name. No more just life. Abundant life in Jesus' name. Why do I say that? I say that because the God that we serve operates in that realm. He operates in multiplication. He operates in increase. He operates in abundance. God doesn't operate in lack, weakness. Amen. He operates in the positive, not in the negative. So we, the church, if our head operates in the positive, the body operates in the positive. Amen. And that includes each and every one of you. And you listening online, the body is positive. We're always in a positive direction. We're not going down. We're going glory to glory, faith to faith. Amen. Peace to peace, joy to joy, love to... All of it is a constant increase in the kingdom of God. Amen. That's a great... You can't help but worship God when you see God for who he really is. When you see God for how much he loves you, whew, it changes every perspective. Every perspective in life is changed when you see it through the eyes of God. You are loved, church. You are truly loved by your Heavenly Father. He loved you so much, he gave you life. He loves you so much, he sent his Son so you could have abundant life. How good is our God? I can't even express how good he is. Words cannot describe how good God is. Amen. And he's got something good for you tonight. Today, I mean, excuse me. Tonight as well. Amen. We're going to go to Acts 2, verse 36 is where I'm going to start. But before I get there, I want to share with you, today's message is going to be unique from what I feel in my spirit, because I'm going to talk about what is a healthy church. And when you understand what is healthy and what the Bible says about the church and what it's doing, you'll realize that a healthy church means there's healthy members of the church. It's a healthy body. If the body is healthy, that means the individuals are healthy. Amen. Amen. If your whole physical body is healthy, that means every member of your body is getting the nutrients it needs. I want to talk about what it means to be a healthy church. Because there's a standard. There's some things within the church that cannot be messed with or altered or done away with that causes the church to not only sustain itself, but to thrive. And it's not moved by anything in the natural. But you can step away from things that can cause the church not to be what it needs to be, not to thrive. And I'm going to give you these foundations. There's four of them, but I'm going to reveal to you through Scripture and give you these references to understand if we can stay in these things, these keys, heaven will be constantly unlocked to the church. Amen. How many of you want to get prayers answered when you pray? Amen. This is going to help you do that. How many of you want to see New Freedom expand, multiply, and grow? Amen. How many of you want your family members to get saved? Amen. This all ties together, because when the church is healthy, revival is there. And when revival is there, a nation changes. Communities change. Even laws are changed. The atmosphere changes, and it's based off of these principles. These aren't the only ones, but I don't want to keep you here for days on end ministering the whole Bible, okay? I'm giving you a taste of what the church needs to keep their focus on to stay healthy, amen? We all want to be healthy. You hear it all the time, naturally, about being healthy, but I'm telling you, your spiritual health is above everything else. When you keep your heart pure and humble before God, everything else will fall into place. Conviction will come, you'll change some things, you'll get things in order, and the blessing of God will be on your life because you're spiritually steady and strong with the Lord. Amen? Amen. So here we go. Acts 2, verse 36. And this is right at Pentecost. This is when the church was birthed. How many of you know how something starts, that is what's going to keep it going? It has to have those foundations in it when it starts to keep it going. Just like you had to have a heart, you had to have lungs at the foundation of when you were born. You keep those things going. You don't do away with the foundation of what started the thing. So what starts revival keeps revival. Amen. What got you saved keeps you in the place of sanctification and growing spiritually. Your faith got you saved by the grace of God. Your faith keeps you on track in the grace of God. Amen. You hear what I'm saying? You got to keep the thing going that got the thing started. Amen. If pushing the gas in your car got you moving forward, you got to keep the gas pedal down to keep going forward. All right? Don't pull off the gas and turn the other way. You keep the gas going, you keep moving forward. These are the things needed to keep the church going forward. And not only going forward, but going higher. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Acts 2:36. It starts out here with Peter. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? I brought that out. I know he's talking about the house of Israel, but he's talking about the church as well. And they're asking, what shall we do? This is what happened. We crucified the Lord. We crucified our hope, is what's taking place here. They're getting revelation that they killed what they really needed. Oh my. And then revelation comes. It's kind of like sin. You're operating and you're realizing what you're believing in is really what's detrimental to your moving forward. That's what's taking place here. And when you get revelation of sin in your life, and you say, this is hindering me from going forward, I need to repent and move it out of the way so I can continually go forward. Amen. This is what's taking place here. They are getting, the centurion got the same revelation when he saw Jesus. They crucified the Lord. He realized in that moment, we got a problem. We killed what we should have our hope and our faith in. Amen. When that happens in a believer's, in your life or in a sinner's life, revelation comes, the one I've been talking about. When Paul on the road to Damascus got the revelation of the Lord, it changed everything. It changed everything. Watch this now. Verse 37 again. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. They were pricked in their heart. Conviction is the key to humility. Allowing your heart to be pricked by the Holy Spirit is a lifestyle you must stay in as a believer. No matter how far you've been in Christianity, the church must be able to feel the presence of God and feel the pricks of God. What do I mean by that? I know this is a whole nother teaching, but there's an inner witness. The Holy Spirit comes in your conscience. Amen. You must have a conscience that is soft to hear the voice of God. Not a hard heart, not pride, but a soft, quiet, gentle spirit to hear the Holy Spirit speak to you. Amen. What I'm talking about with the church at whole has to take place with you as an individual as well. They're not separated. They work together and it expands into the church, the body, and the whole world in the kingdom of God operate off of this truth. Okay? It just so happens he's talking about corporate in this, but it applies naturally as well. Amen. It applies naturally. Because revival in a country or in a nation starts with individuals. It starts with individuals in the church. The church catches the fire, and then the fire spreads. That's revival. Revival doesn't start out there. Revival starts in the heart of the believer. Amen. But it transcends, and all of a sudden there's great salvations. All of a sudden, there's great moves of God. College campuses setting up baptismal pools. Thousands of young people worshiping God. That's revival. It's changing a culture. Why some schools are crumbling, other schools are coming alive. I'm not naming names. I'm just saying. Why some churches are increasing and other churches' bodies are decreasing. I'm saying you must be able to be pricked by the Holy Spirit. You must be able to. All right, so they were cut to the heart. They were pricked in the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brother, what shall we do? That is a question that we must ask ourselves and ask the Lord continually. Lord, what do you have for me to do? Amen. Because when your heart is pricked, you want to know, what is it that what must I do to be saved? What must I do to fulfill the call on my life? I ask the Lord that continually. Lord, what do you have for me in this season? What do you have for me at this time? And I have to be soft and quiet enough to hear what's going on. Same thing with our leadership in New Freedom. We all must be in one accord hearing the voice of God to move forward. Amen. Amen. You must feel that prick and ask yourself, what shall we do? And guess what? Here's the answer. Here's the answer. You say, well, this is like Salvation 101. I'm telling you, these truths right here, you must keep till you breathe your last breath. Repentance does not go away after your first time repenting. Watch this now. Verse 38, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord God would call. So to have a healthy church, you must have a church that has a repented hearts. Number one, repented hearts. Hearts for God, not for themselves. Hearts for the King, not for this kingdom. Amen. Hearts for Him, not for self. Amen. That's the word repent means to turn and go the other way. Amen. So sin has to be dealt with in the body of Christ. Continually. Continually. And you say, well, that sounds harsh, Pastor. But to see and experience and have a healthy church, truth has to come forth. Sin has to be dealt with and removed for growth to come. Because if sin is in the camp, you're cutting off the ability for the Holy Spirit and the promise to do what He's going to do. The Holy Spirit cannot come till sin is removed. And when someone has a free will, or leadership in a church wants to run it their own way, the Holy Spirit can't flow. Because if you want to do it your way, that's sin in and of itself. Let's just be honest. We like to be honest. Why? Because I want you to be blessed. I want all God has for you. It's really quiet in here. I'm believing that it's just so quiet because you're just getting everything. Like a slow cooker, you're just sitting there, just resting, and God's just speaking to you, soaking it up, marinating in His presence. Amen. But watch this now. Repent and let every one of you be baptized. We've had 9 baptisms here in the last 2 weeks. What does that mean? That means turn from sin and be immersed in God. Be immersed, be saturated. Nothing but God. You say, that sounds holy. That's what we want. Peter says, be ye holy for I am holy. So removal of sin and immersion in God. Nothing but God. All I want is you, Lord. There's songs, there's worship songs. Give me all of you, Lord. Only you, Lord. That's that surrender. That's what's happening on college campuses. That's what's happening here. That's what's happened last Sunday. I didn't even preach. People came up and just filled the altar. Surrendered to God. Lord, whatever you have, I give my life to you. I give everything to you. Use me, Lord. That's what's taking place. And you are already saved. Most of you that came up here, or all of you that came up here, were saved. So why is that happening? Because these foundational truths have to happen in the church all the time. You cannot back away and allow sin to come in. You cannot allow your flesh to rule and reign. You cannot. Paul says, I die daily. I crucify my flesh daily. He had to do that to be able to walk in this truth, to allow the Holy Spirit to do what it needed to do. Notice this. Notice what it says. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, for the removal of sin. You have to immerse yourself in God or sin's going to come back. You can say sin go away, but if you do not immerse yourself in God, that sin's going to come back. And I'm telling you right now, it'll come back stronger than when it was before. That's Bible. You say, how can that be? Because you're not dealing with it. Notice, if you get sick, you're not getting sick. But for other people that have gotten sick before, amen, or oh me, if they did not fully clear up what was going on in their body, when it comes back stronger because it built immunity to the medication. You can talk about vaccinations. You can talk about antibiotics. You can talk about all this kind of stuff. The residue of it, if it does not get killed and removed, it becomes stronger. If you're a gardener, let me go that route. If you pull a weed and it breaks off and the roots are in the ground, you made it struggle so it built a stronger root system. And when it springs up again and regrows, the root system is twice as big because it had to deal with the stress of being mowed off or pulled off. And spiritual things work the same way. If you do not deal with sin, sin will deal with you. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Amen. And sin will find you out. So why does the Lord deal with sin first? Because that is a limiting factor. If you can't get past sin, you can't receive anything else. Sin has to get rid of first. What's the first thing that happens with revival? Repentance. Why? Sin has to be removed out of the way. The Holy Spirit will not cohabitate with sin. He's a perfect gentleman. But what happens is a free will that every human being has to make a decision. When they see that there's sin in the camp, they are the ones that have to deal with it. You have to be the one to get rid of your sin and ask Jesus to come in. You're the one that has to repent. This is the, do not misunderstand me. Do not go to church and just hope the pastor takes care, says some glorious prayer that's going to fix you by yourself with you not doing anything. Guaranteed not going to work. Paul, the Apostle Paul, could stand up here and pray, and if you keep sin in your life, his prayer is not going to do anything. Jesus himself could stand here, and if you choose to hold on to sin, guess what? Sin's going to be your hold. Jesus is not going to be able to move you. Even in his hometown, it said Jesus did no mighty work because of unbelief. Jesus himself could not do no mighty work because of unbelief. And it goes on and it says, but he healed a couple sick folk. That word sick there is a Greek word that means unconscious people, like people with comas. Notice this. Notice. The people that could not think on their own were the ones that got healed. All the ones that were thinking were the ones that were believing the lie that the Lord couldn't heal. So he could heal the ones that got their head out of the way, but he couldn't heal the ones that kept their thought pattern focused on their situation or their circumstance. They could not believe, so they could not receive. This is a healthy church. A healthy church is a church that receives from God and that deals with sin. There are people, ministers, ministries that are allowing sin in the camp. I'm telling you right now, it's not going to work out good for them. There's churches that aren't allowing the Holy Spirit in. It's not going to work out good for them. I'm not their judge. I'm just giving as a pastor, as a shepherd, the warning cry. Sin has to be dealt with. I could sit up here and list churches and list sin. That's not what I'm supposed to be doing. That's not what I need to do. But I need to warn the people, the flock, that's under what the Lord has given me to tell you, you got to deal with sin. And watch, you're going to see down through this chapter, through the next like 8-10 verses, you're going to see why sin has to be dealt with first so all the rest of it can come to pass. Because if you don't deal with sin, the rest of this, you might as well just hope it happens, and it's not going to happen. It will not happen till sin is dealt with. Will not happen. God cannot override their free will. Those that wanted to keep demons in their life, you can't do anything about it. I could lay hands on somebody that's full of demons, and if they don't want them to leave, guess what? My prayer will do nothing. God cannot override free will. If people want to keep their sickness because they have benefits because of it, there's nothing I can do to heal their body. There's nothing Jesus can supernaturally do till they open up and say, I don't want it anymore. But if you want it because you're getting benefits from it and you get retirement from whatever, from being disabled, and you want to live in that, I can't do anything about it. And it breaks my heart because I know there's so much better. And God will bring money your way that you don't even know about. But if you want to live in that, I can't do anything about it. You say, that's harsh, Pastor. That's the love of God. God gave you a free will because he loves you so much. But he gave you a remedy. He gave you all you have need of. You just need to believe that it's for you. Amen. That's what causes the church to be the church. Verse 38 again. I know I read it 3 times, but there's more in here. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Notice the gift of the Holy Spirit came after repentance. It didn't say, oh, the Holy Spirit fell and everybody got blessed. No, those that repented got the Holy Spirit. It's not just at salvation, but as a believer living the life that God has called us to live daily, this principle applies. If you keep sin, the Holy Spirit cannot move. If you have a hard time hearing the voice of God, there just may be sin in the camp. I'm not saying that as a negative. I'm saying that to give you the revelation that ask yourself, check your heart. Am I believing a lie in an area? Am I thinking things that I shouldn't be thinking? Am I looking at things I shouldn't be looking at? These are the things we ask ourselves, because if we want all that God has, we have to be real about it and we have to understand what brings it and what keeps it from coming. Amen. And sin does that. Sin will keep you from the blessing of God. Okay, enough about sin. Let's move on. There's greater things to talk about. Just get sin. Just repent and all is well. Amen. Verse 39. For the promise is to you, to your children, and to all who are afar off. Say, that's me. You say, well, it was written to the house of Israel. Guess what? This is the church. Children, 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 generations, generations, generations. It's for you today. It's for you today. It's come down the generational line to this present day right now. And it'll keep coming to your children and your grandchildren till Jesus comes for the church. That's the only thing that's going to stop this blessing and this law that the Lord has placed in the church. The only thing that's going to stop it is the head coming back and the church leaving. That's the only thing that's going to stop it. So the generational blessing of this is still applied today. Amen. It's still applied today. All who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. You say, well, I don't know if he's called me. Guess what? Verse 21 says, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just call on him. Call on him. Call on him. Amen. That's what it takes. Call on the name of the Lord. You shall be saved. You shall be delivered. Lord, help me in this present time of need. Thank you for helping me, Lord. The struggle that I'm going, whatever it is, Lord, help me. I'm calling on you. Show me. Show me. Verse 40. Here we go. This is where it starts getting very good. And when many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So Peter was saying, they asked, what must we do? He said, repent. Repent and allow the Holy Spirit to come. And then it goes on. Here we go. He shared many other words and he says, be saved from this perverse generation. So repenting saves you from this perverse generation. Notice that. repenting, removing sin. What brings perversion? Sin. When sin is removed, perversion goes with it. So if there's a wicked nation, there's perversion in the nation. There's sin in the camp. Anywhere where there's perversion, there's sin. This isn't rocket science. I'm just being honest with you. If there is perversion, there's sin. They're like Siamese twins. If there's perversion, there's sin. No doubt about it. Things that are negative, lies, sin is there. Sin is there. So when you get rid of sin, you get rid of perversion. And guess what? When a person goes to Jesus for the first time and asks them to be Lord and Savior, the sin is removed, all the perversion is removed too. It's removed. Whether you feel it, whether you believe it, whether you understand it, whether they walk in it right away, that's not the case. New creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Perversion is removed because sin. You're a new creation made white as snow. That means no sin is there. Right? No sin is there. Then we got to renew our minds to believe that that really happened. And that's the next step. You got to renew your mind to know that you were made white as snow, that sin was removed. Because some people say it, but they don't really believe that they could be a new creation. They don't believe that they can be, that God's that good to deliver them from all the bad they did. So they hold on to some of the bad, thinking, I don't. Well, what you're doing is you're saying what Jesus did on the cross isn't good enough. Another hush upon the crowd. Let's keep going. Be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, immersed, and that they, about 3,000 souls were added to them. I want you to remember 3,000, because these next scriptures, it's talking about corporate. It's not talking about individual. There was 3,000 added to the church based off of what just took place. So repentance happened, the Holy Spirit came, and the church came alive. Remember that. Repentance and the Holy Spirit have to be a central focus along with Jesus in the church. If they're not there, you're not going to have souls added to the church. Okay? All right. I'm glad you got that. Verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking bread, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. One of the greatest things that I have found out in my walk with the Lord is that word steadfastness. If you can be steady in God, not washed back and forth, not rolled this way, but steady. Slow, you may be slow, but be steady. Amen? The turtle wins the race. All right? Steady. Steady in the right direction. Not move to the left. Steady on the path that God has for you. See, many people want to run, and then all of a sudden they run so quick that they're not, their character is not built to the place where they can handle when they get to the other end. And then they get shipwrecked. And they get messed up. Steady. Steadiness is the key to Christianity. I'm telling you right. Because steadiness allows these 4 points I'm going to share with you to be rooted and grounded in you and be established. Steadiness will make the church not only be steady, but it'll make it grow. Steadiness. Your yes be yes, your no be no. Your integrity, your character. Steady. Steady. You don't get on funny doctrine. Don't get the latest fad. Be steady. The cross is not old. The blood's not done away with. The gospel isn't some new. It's the good news. It's the same. The message does not change. It didn't get old. The Bible doesn't get old. It applies just as much today as it did when it was written a little less than 2,000 years ago. Okay? Steady. Steady. This is still working on each of us right now. Amen. We are still writing the book of Acts right now. How can we write the book of Acts? What do I mean by that? The church is the book of Acts. We are the church right now. So we're writing the book. It's still in operation, the book of Acts. No, it's not written in here. What we're doing today is not chapter, 45 of Acts. But the principles that are written here that we apply, we are living out the book of Acts. We're living in the book of Acts. So that means it still applies today. It's not old. It's not done away with. People are like, well, the Bible's an old book. No, it's just as alive today as it was when it was written. Amen. Just as alive today. And when you understand it that way, that steadiness. I am the Lord thy God. I change not. If God is that steady, the church must be steady. If Jesus, the head of the church, is seated at the right hand of the Father, he doesn't get up and run around and get excited if something's happening. He's steady. He's steady. He's right there seated. One time he got up where it's written in Scripture, when Stephen was martyred. The Bible says Jesus stood. And I thought to myself, it gives me chills right now. The Lord of glory stood up for Stephen. Powerful. Other than that, Jesus is chilling next to his Father. That was terrible. That was so bad. Sorry. Dad joke. Anyway, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Lord, help me. I hate when that happens. They continued, not singular, they, the church at whole. Get that, the church at whole. They continued steadfastly in what? The first thing, apostles' doctrine. What is that? That's instruction. If you do not, what's the first thing someone that's living in sin that is offended and rebellious? They won't handle instruction. See how sin operates? You get sin in the camp, you can't apply the rest of the principles. You won't receive sound doctrine. You won't receive authority when you're living in sin. If you're constantly offended, you're living in sin. I'm just being real with you because I want all God has for you. I know I'm preaching to the wrong crowd. I get that. But there's some listening online. You perfect ones, you. Notice the apostles' doctrine, the apostles' instruction. We must have wise counsel and wise instruction. Notice that. The principle that actually started the ministry that the Lord has for me is to get the Word of God into people. And that's our mission here at New Freedom. To get God's Word into people by preaching, teaching, and demonstration. Get the Word of God into people. Doctrine, instruction in righteousness. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God for instruction, reproof, correction, and righteousness. That's what Scripture is for. So when doctrine is applied to a believer's life, it gives you instruction on how to live. But if you do not want instruction, what's a child? When a parent tells a child what to do and the child says, no, I'm not going to do it. That's a rebellious spirit. Doesn't handle instruction. There's not going to, and guess what the Bible says? If you do not obey your parents, it's going to affect your life. When we do not obey the Word of God, it will affect our lives. You want a healthy church? You want a healthy life? You want a healthy marriage? You want a healthy family? Obey the doctrines of God. Obey the Word of God. When you step away from the Word, if the church ever, and it's not, at least not here, get to the place where we just tell a story and not use the Word, guess what? Unhealthy church. It's going the wrong direction. If you do not have sound doctrine, you will be led astray. The enemy will take control of what you're doing, and that's what's happening in some denominations. Doctrine is being twisted, trying to take Father out of the Bible, trying to take the blood away from the Bible. These are key ingredients to the freedom that we find in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You can't take the blood is not gross. Blood is beautiful when it comes to the Word of God. It delivered us from sin. It paid the price from Calvary's cross. You can't get rid of the blood. You get rid of the blood, you get rid of repentance. And guess what? You get rid of everything I'm preaching about. And guess what? You get rid of the church if you take the blood out. Because that's what we live by. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. That's what made me clean. You get rid of that, I'm dirty. Stained, foul, stinking. Because I'm not clean by the blood. Anyway, I think you're getting it. I think you're getting it. Say, I'm getting it.
I'm getting it.
All right, so steadfastly, to continue steadfastly is a constant, daily steadiness. And it's saying that is the precursor to these 4 points. Steadiness. Continually steady in doctrine. Not just going to Bible school and preaching some other gospel. Steady in the doctrines of the Word of God. Steady in instruction of the Word of God. The next one, fellowship. Steady in fellowship. So I want you to understand that all these points, steady is a precursor to them. Be solid in them. Steady in them. Immovable in them. The word fellowship is going to blow your theology a little bit. Because it's not just like coming together and hanging out and telling stories. When you understand what fellowship means, it's going to change your thought patterns. It is communication. It is being around each other as a body of believers. But this word fellowship has 2 key points. Partnership and participation. That's what fellowship means. So he wants us to be steady participating and steady partnering as a church. That's a Christian of the Word of God. That is true fellowship. Steady giving. Steady being together on Sunday. Steady doing outreaches together. Steady participating in the things of God and what the Lord's doing in your area. That's fellowship. Not just getting together and saying, hey, how you doing? Fellowship that the apostles are talking about is the body participating together. Not the pastor doing everything. Not the ushers doing everything. It's the body together, working together, participating in the kingdom and what the Lord is doing in this area. And that's body ministry. That's what each person needs to do is ask the Lord, what do you have for me to participate in that you're calling me to do? And ask the Lord what it is. And then do what he tells you to do. That's what this fellowship is about. There's men's fellowship where we work together. We encourage. We had a breakfast on Saturday. Phenomenal. Encouraging each other. Praying for each other. Participating with each other. Amen. That's important. The young people, the youth, the children, they're fellowshipping back there under the Word of God. You today, we are participating in praise and worship together. We're participating in the Word together. It's just my calling is to pastor and to minister the Word. Amen. But every one of you had a part to play today. When you walk in the door, you put a smile on somebody else's face. When the hospitality team sees you, they are participating in what the Lord is doing. The ushers and the intercessors. Everybody, you understand what I'm saying? This is big. This is big. It takes the body to be healthy. They must participate and partner together. Amen. You must. It's not that you can't have the 80-20 rule in a healthy church. Meaning 20% of the people are doing 80% of the work. That's society. That's world. As a pastor, I'm believing for 100% participation. Amen. I'm waking you up here. Hey, you're laughing now, but wait till I get on partnership. Because that talks about money. Partnership. When you partner with somebody, you're financially part of it. Amen. If you're a business owner and you partner with somebody, you have stock in it. Amen. You want it to succeed. I'm telling you, if you're a part of New Freedom Church and you do not want the church to grow, we need to talk. Because you're not in partnership. You're not in agreement with the vision. You hear what I'm saying? That would be like if I was in partnership farming with my son. And I did all the work, I footed all the bills, and he went on vacation to Florida for 6 months out of the year and got his 50% pay, and I got my 50, but I was doing everything. a little bit out of order. Smart kid. That's not partnership, though. That's not partnership. See, partnership is not having your own agenda. Partnership is linking with God and walking and talking with Him. And your love is for God. It's not for anything else but God. And through that partnership with Him individually, revival comes into your life, and then you have partnership with your brother and sister. Then you can literally have partnership where you will invest in those that are out there because you have partnership correct here. You hear what I'm saying? When you give to God, when you participate with God, God participates with you. God is not going to lift everything and do everything for you. He supplied His grace, but your partnership part is your faith. You hear what I'm saying? God has supplied everything for you through His Son and by the Holy Spirit. But it is your faith that must partner with that. That is the best partnership plan I've ever heard of in my life. Jesus paid for everything, and we just say yes to Him. That's like the partnership with my son, and it's how God designed it. We're the ones going to Florida for 6 months on vacation, and Jesus paid it all. That's an example. I don't want you to use that as doctrine as far as serving in the church. All right? I lost my page. Acts 2. So there's sound doctrine. But let me get there. Steady in doctrine, steady in instruction, steady in fellowship, okay? So I want to touch on this a little more because for some reason I like ruffling feathers. But for those that say, well, I know Jesus, but I'm not part of a church, you might as well scratch chapter 2 out of your Bible. It's talking about fellowship in the body. They continued together, steady, together. 3,000 were added to the church. How could they count 3,000 if they weren't together? They didn't have 3,000 likes or comments on Facebook. I said the prayer and I'm a part of your church. They were together. I'm hitting a devil. I'm telling you right now. Not you guys, but people that just sit out there and say they're a part of something, but they're not participating. They're not participating. And I know there's shut-ins, and I know there's people that can't make it. I know that. I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to the ones that got offended. I'm talking to ones that have excuses for not coming to church. I mean, there's excuses a mile long. An excuse is like veneer. It looks good on the outside, but it has no weight to it. Has no weight. Can't hold anything. Anyway, that was not a good thing, but it's a true thing. So they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in instruction, and in fellowship. Steady. Everybody say steady. You got to understand it. These points here, you got to be steady in. Not just here and there, just not a Christmas Easter Christian. You got to be steady, dedicated, because other people are relying on you. If you're a Sunday school teacher, steady, steady. Why? Because those little kids want to see your pretty face. You ushers, steady. Why? Sound people, steady. Why? Because other people are believing in you and they're receiving your gift that you bring to the body. What would it be like if Pastor David wasn't steady on his preaching? You come to church and there's no preacher, no pastor. Pastor didn't show up. Got tired this week. I need my 5 month sabbatical. How would that do for the body? I'm not saying I'm your source. The Lord can bring something else, but it's not His plan for the man called of God to not show up for the duty that he has. Steady. You can laugh about that, and I'm not using... All I'm saying is, you are just as vital as me standing up here. There's no difference in the body. if one part of the body is missing and not participating, it's kind of like a team. What if you played without a goalie? Wouldn't be good. Wouldn't be good. Oh, the offense didn't show up today. Can't play the game. You can't even be a part because you don't have enough people. You have to forfeit your ability to play. See, people are forfeiting in their life spiritually, and they're not even in the game that God has for them. They're forfeiting. They're making a decision not to be a part of the game. See, and that's the culture that's going on. I want it my way, and they're forfeiting their right for the blessing of God and health in their life, an abundant life. Good stuff. It's good stuff. It's so good. Continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the fellowship, and in breaking bread and in prayers. Here's the other 2 points. Breaking bread. This is going to be a little more than what you think. We have a fellowship meal. That's breaking bread together, house to house. That's part of it. The other part of breaking bread is something we're going to do today. Communion. Amen. The church, you got to be. Now, I'm not going to say that. It's good to be together when you take communion. Because you're what? Communing together. Amen? That would be like saying you're praying to God, but your focus isn't on God at all. When you commune, your focus and your faith needs to be directed on Him. You have to direct things. So when you break bread together, amen, when we take communion together, we are all participating together in what Jesus Christ has done for us. His blood was shed. His body was broken. He died for us and He rose again. We're all participating, breaking bread together in God's doctrine. When you take communion, you're fulfilling all four of these. Do you realize that? You're praying together as a church family. You're taking the elements together by faith as a church family. You're in God's doctrine, His instruction about when you come together, remember the Lord thy God and what He's done for you. Partaking of communion together. That's why communion is so powerful, because you're doing all four of these at the same time. That's what makes a church healthy. A church that does not take communion together will not be healthy. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. I'm telling you right now. Amen. Take communion house to house. Next time we meet, we're taking communion at your place. Amen. Amen. Why? The body's coming together. There's blessing. We're participating together. We're partnering together. Why does the Bible say, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul? Why? That's partnering with the Lord. Love thy neighbor as yourself. Why? You're partnering. You're participating with them together. What makes going to your neighbors and cooking a meal for your neighbor so powerful? Because it's biblical. You break bread with people together, there's something it builds within you relationship-wise. You build fellowship. You build trust. You build respect for each other because you're spending time together. Amen. Well, that's why it's good to get the church together and do things together. Like shoot guns and clay pigeons. Go fishing together. Amen. Go soul winning together. Pray together. Corporate prayer tonight. What's going to make it so powerful? It's biblical. A church. My house shall be a house of prayer. Amen. It doesn't say my house should be a house of partying. It doesn't say any other. It says prayer. Prayer is an important, a vital ingredient to the health of the church. A praying church is a prosperous church. A praying person is a prosperous person. Amen. So you can see here, the 4 points I have, or the Bible has. I don't have them. I do have them, but the Bible wrote them. Let me get it out right. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and breaking bread, and prayers. They were steady in all four of those. We must be steady in all four of those. Instruction. Be steady in instruction. Receive instruction. Receive correction. It'll do you well. Amen. Amen. Receive these points right now. Receive the fellowship. I love seeing you. Truly. I love being here. I love the fellowship. I love when you get together and you guys are talking. There's people talking here. There's people. This fellowship. That's the body coming together. Amen. Participating. Praying for each other. Encouraging each other. Edifying. If you're waiting to get it just from me, you're going to be waiting a while. I'm doing my best. But I'm one part of the body. There's others here that can pray, that can believe God with you, that can encourage you, that can sharpen you. Amen. You, the church, God has made the church to give you everything that you need. Everything. In this Bible right here, the Word of God has everything that you have need of. All instructions. Everything that's profitable for life and godliness is found in here. Everything that you have need of is found in here. Let me go on here. Notice this, verse 43. As these four things are in line, watch 43. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. You want a miracle ministry? You want a miracle life? Be steady in these four points. And you'll have a total reverence for God, and you'll see miracles happen in your life. We had a lady that her leg grew out 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I think it was, when Evangelist Nick was here. After the service, she sat right there in that chair. And where's Mike at? What was it, 3/4 of an inch or so? Difference in the length of her legs. He saw, Mike saw it happen. You ask him after church. Saw it, just like that. Right before our eyes. Miracle. Miracle. So it's here. Miracles are here. Your miracle is here. Hallelujah. The atmosphere for miracles is here. This church is healthy. You're healthy. You're whole. You have everything you have need of. You got to see it for what it is. That lady, not even a part of our church, received her miracle. She stood up and continence change, stature. I mean, I think she grew like an inch or two. She straightened up. She was like, all of a sudden like this. Miracle. Right in the midst of us. So if it can happen for one, it can happen for others. But you must keep steady in the points and in the doctrine of what Scripture says. We will never shy away from the Word of God. Never, ever, ever. Because the moment we do is the moment the blessing, the provision, the anointing, the love, the peace, everything will go right out the door. This, Jesus, has to be your number one. Has to be your number one. Just bow your head and close your eyes. God's got wonderful things for us. I'm so thankful. There's more to this. Down through verse 47, and I'm not going to read it. Read it on your own. Acts 2. 44 through 47. But I'm telling you, God's got great things for you. He's got miracles for you. Signs and wonders and miracles were part of the church, were everyday life for the church. Fear came upon. Reverence for God was abounding. Not fear of terror, but fear of reverence came upon the people. And many signs and wonders were done. Father, I thank you for tonight, today. Oh God, I thank you for each and every one here. Those listening online, your miracle is at your doorstep. It's right there. It's right there. Hallelujah. 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 As your heads are bowed, I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward for the communion. Just the ushers. You can keep your heads bowed. God has great things for you. And I'm believing that as communion is given, I'm going to ask Pastor Joe to come up. You say, what's taking place? We're fellowshipping together. We're going to break bread together. And the power of God is going to fall on each and every person. Hallelujah. Just wait there.
Hallelujah. Church. Pastor said it earlier. This isn't just a religious act. When I was praying, preparing for this morning, that's what predominantly kept flowing through over and over. This is not just another act. This isn't just something we do to check a box. This is supernatural. The four things that the pastor touched on today, we're getting ready to partake of it and do it at one time. We are the body of Christ. And when we gather together, it's a celebration. It's a celebration of what? Of everything the Lord has done. Everything that He has done. Pastor David touched on that you have to get out of your head or nothing can happen, right? So in the Gospel of John, I want to go somewhere. I want you to follow with me in John, starting in chapter 6. Verse 51. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. What happened? Verse 52, the Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They argued. Quarreling is arguing. They're in their heads. They can't. They're thinking naturally. They're thinking, what is wrong with this man? But he wasn't talking about his actual flesh. He wasn't talking about his body. That would be weird and gross. Jesus wasn't talking about that. He was talking about spiritually what he was about to endure, being broken, being brutalized for what? For us. For our healing. Because by his stripes, we are healed. We are healed, church. By his stripes, his body being broken, that was for us. That wasn't for him. It was for us. Because of his great love for us. And Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. And in John chapter 15, Jesus made it very plain to us. He made it very plain to us. Chapter 15, verse 7, if you abide in me, and my word abides in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. He told us we will abide in him. What is the key to abiding in him? That we partake of his flesh. That we partake of his blood. It's what makes us the church. It's not by what we're doing. It's through what he's done that we receive the life that he died to give us. So I do not want this to be just another communion where everybody lines up and I'm going to take the cracker and I'm going to... No. Meditate on that right now. Right where you're sitting. Meditate on what he has done. He gave his life. Do not get hung up. Don't let words of condemnation trip you up. Do not. Well, I can't take, Pastor, we can't take communion because, stop it. Stop looking for an excuse to stay separated from your Savior. Stop looking for it. He paid everything to be reconciled with you. Receive it. If there is something in your heart that you need to deal with it right now. Right now. Just lay it down. Lord, I repent. I'm done. No longer do I want to carry this thing. I lay it at your feet. It's yours. I'm done. Thank you for your forgiveness. And now be ready to receive everything that the Lord has for you. Everything. Because this is not just another act, church. Today we partake of his body. We partake of his blood to receive healing and remission of sins. Divine health. Divine life. In everything we have need of will be found in his body and in his blood. All of it. All of it. Whatever it is you need to deal with right now, deal with it. Because I am believing that as you come up and as you get this cracker and you get this grape juice, you are setting yourself up to receive everything he has promised you. When you take in that cracker, you're taking in his promises. It's on the inside of you. Get ready. Get ready. Everything you've been longing for, you're going to receive it this morning. The blood is going to wash you clean. Ushers, if you would. If you want everybody, you can get lined up right down the center aisle here. Take your juice, take your cracker, and then go back to your seat. We're going to receive this together. Thank you, Lord. Jesus said in verse 57 of John 6, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna, but he who eats this bread will live forever. You're taking in all the promises right now, church. You're gathering together everything you have need of. Amen. Everybody have their elements? Let's stand to our feet. What we're partaking of is holy. It is holy. This is supernatural, church. It is supernatural. Everybody good? Everybody got their elements? Phenomenal. Jesus took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it. And he gave it to them saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Church, when he took the beating, when he went on the cross, this was for our divine healing. This is every curse that came along with the fall was paid for through his body being broken. If there is anything in you right now that needs healing, this is where you receive it. Right now. Receive his sacrifice. Receive it. Right now. Break the bread. Let's partake of the bread. I had a big bread. Likewise, he also took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. This represents the blood that he spilled for the remission of every sin that has ever showed itself and ever will show itself in your life. It's been paid for. There literally right now is nothing that can separate you from the God who made you. Nothing can separate you, church, because of the blood that he shed. Nothing. So right now, take in this juice. Take in all the benefits of his blood right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the sacrifice that you made on the cross, that your body was broken and your blood was shed to undo every work of the enemy and every curse of sin. It was dealt with that day. The moment you rose from the grave, it all became ours. I thank you, Lord, that everything that we have need of is ours. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You may be seated.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Yeah. Hallelujah. God is so good. Hallelujah. I'm believing you received what you had need of. We fed spiritually. But when you partook of the bread, that is what heals you naturally. And I just want to pray and agree what you were believing for. I'm going to come in agreement with you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each and every one here today, those listening online as well. Lord, I thank you that the blood in the body of Jesus Christ sets us free, and we are free indeed. Every prayer, every faith statement that was put forth, I agree with right now, and we ask the blessing of the Lord to be upon it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. 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 Before we go, I want to give you opportunity to sow. There's envelopes. I don't know. Are we still online? Yep. Up on the board is ways to sow. As I was saying before, a healthy church is a church that partners. A healthy ministry is a ministry that partners. A healthy marriage is a marriage that partners. A healthy family is a family that partners together, works together. Partnership is a blessing of the Lord, and it's powerful, very powerful. Same thing with finances, too. When you believe in something, you'll partner with it. And I want to give you an opportunity to be blessed by God. I didn't get into it, but in Acts 2, verses 44 and 45,
where they gave. Some sold land. Some put all their assets on the apostles' feet. Why? Because they had a reverence for God. They were in awe of God and every need was met. And as a pastor, I believe every need is met in this church, in Jesus' name. I don't just believe it, I know it. I declare it in Jesus' name. Every need met in Jesus' name. And I do believe, there's some that will be able to give beyond what others give. That's between them and the Lord. All of this is between you and the Lord. But when you come together and you unite and participate together, there's power in unity. There's blessing in unity. So I just encourage those online, partner with us. It's good ground. God has great things. We're busting at the seams with the little ones as well. We need a building too. God's going to provide all of that because we're not going to lack any good thing. Amen. The need is there. God knows it. God's going to pull through. And that's what we believe. Whatever you have need of, when you sow into it and you believe God, it's already done. Faith is now. Faith is now. So what you're believing for, you apply your faith for, you sow into, and you believe God, and it's yours. Amen. Nothing's impossible with God. Hallelujah. Every need met in Jesus' name. Ushers, if you could come, serve the people. Hallelujah. Partnership. It's part of fellowship. Participating together. Hallelujah. You can financially get in the game. Be a part of what's taking place and reap the blessing of it. What you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. Whatever measure you sow with, that's the measure you will reap. Hallelujah. Partnership, it's powerful. Powerful. I'm partnering with you. What do I mean by that? A pastor can't pastor unless he's got sheep. So I thank you for coming today. I thank you for that. Partnering with the vision that God has placed at New Freedom Church. Hallelujah. If you could bow your heads and close your eyes. Father, I thank you for this day. This day that you've made. We will rejoice. We have rejoiced. We'll continue to rejoice. And be glad in it. Lord, I thank you for this offering today, Lord God. Because you gave your best, we give our best. And we lay it at your feet right now. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to give. To sow to our Master. To sow to our Lord. And thank Him for all that He has done and all that He is going to do. Father, I ask that you bless these tithes and offerings to you, Lord. Receive them now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastors will be up here if you need prayer, but I want to thank you for coming. Love you guys. And expecting wonderful things to happen. Get ready. Great things are happening. They already have. We've had testimony after testimony, but God's not done. The testimonies always get bigger. So he's like, man, I've had great things happen. The Lord's done wonderful things. He isn't done with you yet. Yeah, he's just getting warmed up. You say, I'm older. Guess what? You're wiser. God's got great things for you. You can impart to the young people your wisdom. Always have something to give. Always have something to partner with. I'm telling you, God's got great things for New Freedom. Get ready. Love you guys. Be blessed. Yep. See you tonight.